All right. Judges 6, 1 through 10. Bible says, again, the Israelites did evil. They had this problem. Over and over again, you read the book of Judges, it's like a broken record. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain clefts, not the high rent district, caves and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like a swarm of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. And when the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. The prophet said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. And I drove them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship other gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we want to be an obedient people. We want to be people that are indeed listening to your word, Lord, that we are obedient, Lord, that we are trusting, Lord, that we are faithful, Lord, that you would meet us in this place and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord, that you would give us direction, Lord, and that we would indeed hear from you and be transformed in our behavior. Let tomorrow be different from today, Lord. Let this afternoon be different from this morning. Because we have heard from you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. I got a little buzz. Can you take down that guitar one slide? Or mute it or something? Ah, much better. Thank you. Listening to God. I got my BlackBerry. It's on vibrate, by the way. If you have your phone, put it on vibrate, turn it off, silent, whatever, ignore. But, do one of those things. Called Yuseli this morning. She didn't answer her phone. Couldn't talk to her. That's good. Okay, that's enough talk, though. All right. No, I'd make a trend today. It could be bad. But that was good. It was good, Sandra. That was quick. This BlackBerry, it's got like a little computer, and I can hook it up to my computer. I can go on the internet with it. I can text people with it, except my thumbs are too big. I can't get there. I just figured out that on the alt thing, you can push it and then let it go. Because I couldn't figure out, how do you do that? I can't get them both in there. You know, this thing does so much. But you know what? It's a real pain trying to talk to people on the phone. My phone does all kinds of things except be a phone. Because when I talk to you, it's like, huh? What? Oh, I have to call you back. I can't understand you. I can't hear them, not listening. That's the problem that the Israelites were having with the Lord. They were not listening to what he said. They could not hear him. God says, I have done great things for you, but you're not listening to me anymore. I have done great things and you have forgotten them. I have sent messengers to you and you ignore them. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You have heard from God. You have experienced the presence of God. Some of you are going, man, I had a great week. It was fabulous. I have experienced the presence of God and the power of God in my life. It's been a good week, even though it's been a tough week. Can I get a witness on that? God has been right here with me, talking to my heart, speaking to my mind. I've had all kinds of challenges, but it's been a great month. Because I have been obedient to my Lord and I am listening to him and I want to follow in his steps, the steps that he has outlined for me. But some of you have just been doing your own thing. Now, I'll give you an easy way out. How many of you know somebody who's just doing his own thing? There you go. See, I'm not going to ask if you're doing your own thing. Yeah, I know somebody. You need to talk to them, Pastor. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll give you a message and you can bring it to them. See, some people just not listening to God. Some people ignoring God. Some people just thinking, I just want to do my own thing. And because you have and because they have or because anybody has, when you do your own thing, you move away from the protection of God. See, there's all kinds of stuff around. Can I get a witness on that? There's my clicker. You get hooked up with the Lord. You hear from the Lord and you're obedient to the Lord and you're responding to the Lord and you come under the covering of the Lord. And it's kind of like an umbrella. There's all this bad stuff going on. But you're hooked up with the Lord and guess what? You've got protection. Amen? It's like you get hooked up with the Lord, right? And though there's turmoil all around you, you are staying dry. And there's some folks, though, who see that and they think, no, I think I can do better on my own. Is that some famous guy, by the way? No, okay, nobody knows who he is. I don't know if that's a famous guy. Everybody's going, oh, that's a famous guy. But check him out. He's all wet. And see, that's what happens to us when we step away from the Lord. Now, can I get a witness on that? I got some people in here that have experienced getting wet because they have stepped away from the Lord. This can be a rather challenging existence. We're in this series preparing for Pentecost. And as we talk about stepping with the Lord, stepping towards him, it's in direct contradiction of what the Israelites had been doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. When we begin to step towards him, we start talking about the day of Pentecost. We start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We start talking about the power of God in your life. And there are steps that you take, and you start being obedient. You do what he says. And as you are obedient, you grow in your trust. That, okay, he is trustworthy. There's some people just don't trust God. Oh yeah, he's out there, but I don't trust him. I gotta go my own way. I gotta do my own thing. Amen? As you grow in your obedience and as you develop trust, you will also grow in your faith. And you will trust God to do stuff and to be the way he says he is going to be, and you can begin to take risks on being obedient to the Lord, because you know he is faithful. Can I get a witness on that? Right? So now you are trusting God, you have faith in him that he's going to be there, and you will begin to experience the presence of God in your life. Now, do you know what I'm talking about there? How many of you have sensed the presence of the Lord this morning as we were singing? Yeah? Let me see your hand. I want to see. You can experience that during the week. The presence of God. And as you live in close proximity, as you come underneath that covering, begin to experience the power of God. Obedience, trust, faith, presence of God, the power of God. Sermon today is called Stepping Towards God. Next week, day of Pentecost, these men and women were lining up on the Lord, stepping close to him. And one of those steps of progress in their lives was this baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's one of many steps, drawing closer to God, trusting him. We're going to take a look at that today. We're going to take, you know, Gideon was walking to the Lord. He had some bumpy steps. Maybe you can relate. Hey, you know, okay, I'm walking to the Lord, but man, sometimes I trip, sometimes I fall, sometimes I just make poor choices. Well, I think we're going to be able to relate to Gideon. So let's take a look. Amen? All right. Gideon, the angel of the Lord. Okay, this is... They cry out to the Lord, said, oh, the Midianites are coming. We've been messed up for 7 years. And the Lord sends this messenger, says, hey, this is all happening because you have not listened to me. And then an angel of the Lord comes and sit down under the oak tree in Oprah. It's like Oprah, right, on the show? That's what she got her name? that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son, Gideon, that's what we're going to talk about, Gideon, was threshing wheat in a wine press. Anybody know what you make in a wine press? Wine. Very good. Very good. And you have to ask yourself, why was Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press? We're going to come back to that in a moment. It says, in a wine press, to keep it from the Midianites. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Read that and find out that Gideon had more than he realized. Gideon had more than he realized. But Gideon answers with a question. And it's the next verse, but I'm just going to kind of give you an ad lib. If God's with us, why are we so messed up? Yeah? Maybe you can relate to that. Man, if God is all around us, how come my life is messed up? How come I'm getting tromped on? How come everything's messed up? Where's all the miracles of God? How come I don't see them? How come I don't see the power of God? And Gideon says, you know what? I just don't feel real mighty. I don't feel like a mighty warrior. In fact, he says, I'm from the smallest clan. I'm from the weakest family. We're just a bunch of losers. I don't got anything going for me. I've got too many obstacles in my life. And maybe some of us can kind of relate to that sentiment. Angel of the Lord talking to Gideon. Gideon's having a hard time believing. Wait a minute. This is a little bit much for me. He says, the Lord answered, I'll be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Now, how many Midianites were there? So many that they could not count them. And we got Gideon, the mighty warrior, freaking out. If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. How many of you have ever just talked to an angel face to face? You know, if I saw one, I don't know if I would be asking him for his ID. Even if I was in Arizona. Let me see your ID, buddy. You could be, might not be an angel. You could be an alien. Hey, you know, what are you? I don't know what you are. Are you really from God? Can you give me a sign? He says, you're going to defeat the Midianites. There were so many that they couldn't even count them. And Gideon's not a brave man. Where's he talking to him? He's talking to him at the wine press. Why is he at the wine press? Because he's making wine. No, he's threshing wheat. And why is he threshing wheat at the wine press? Because I used to work in grapes. All the grapes I know about, all ripen in like September. And they all ripen at the same time. So if you're going to make wine, you got to use grapes. And you're going to use grapes when they're ripe. And they're all, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what, the trucks are hauling grapes to the wine all the 2 weeks of September. And so if this is in May, this is any other time, there's nothing going on at the wine press. And so Gideon says, hey, if I take my wheat to the wine press, I can hide out from the Midianites, and they won't know what I'm doing, and they won't steal all my stuff. Now, does that sound like a mighty man? Does that sound like a guy who's just trying to get by? He's just trying to make it through. And sometimes we can kind of relate to that. Man, we're not even thinking about victory. We're not even thinking about overcoming. We're just trying to get by. How about you? Are you looking for victory? Or are you just looking to get by? You have to ask yourself by your actions in your lives, what are you doing? Gideon's really struggling here. He says, hold on, hold on, hold on. And he brings an offering. Check it out. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread. Place them on this rock and pour out the broth. I think he just dumps the broth. I don't want the broth. Bring me the meat. Bring me the bread. And Gideon did so. And with the tip of his staff, I don't have a staff. Should have got a staff. Oh, yeah, I do. Where's the rain stick? Gone. The tip of his staff. Oh, I got a drumstick. There we go. Here you go. Here's a rock. It's kind of like the first big old Bic lighter, right? He just goes, bam, and the rock flames up and devours the meat and the bread. Wow. I said no more talking, but that's okay. That was a good one too. Yeah, I think Gideon was going, whoa, okay. I guess you are real. I guess you are from the Lord. I guess I can grab onto a little bit of this. And then it says the angel of the Lord disappeared. A rather significant display for Gideon. And he says, you have my attention now, Lord. How has the Lord touched your life? Has the Lord touched your life in a way that you just say, oh man, on this day, right? How many of you have had an experience like that? Say, the Lord just moved in me in power and might. Maybe not flashing a rock and burning up your food. But he has so touched your life that there is no doubt in your mind that the Lord is real in your life and he's touched you. Come on, put your hand up. Put it up. Oh, look at all these hands. God is real. God is doing great things among us. You say, where's the power? You know, I like to share these stories, and I didn't get a chance to check with him, but I'm just going to be bold and move on. Ramiro started Bible college 3 weeks ago. And we started talking about 5 weeks ago, getting him set up and doing all this kind of stuff. About the same time frame, he got hooked up with this guy for all this subcontracting work, cleaning work, office work, all this kind of stuff. And so you've just been overwhelmed with work. Amen? You've been working a lot of hours, right? And this thing with the Lord and going to Bible college and getting ready, and he just feels a call to ministry and all this kind of stuff. And how do you see that as you move close to the Lord, you just start seeing all these other blessings coming your way too? Amen? Yeah. Mike's hands up. Mike going, yeah. He got it. He's been working all week too. And you ask yourself, who does the Lord bless? Is he blessing those folks who say, nah, I don't got time for you, Lord. Why don't you go ahead and throw me a blessing? Maybe I'll pay attention to you. Or is he blessing those people that are moving close to him, listening to him, working on obedience, working on trust, faith, and the presence of God? Amen? You think to yourself, okay, who's getting the blessings? I'll tell you what, Aaron's down there teaching right now. Aaron got up here every week talking about the blessings of the Lord. Where's Elsie? Elsie's down there working too. She said, I said, how was your group? She said, oh, I shared what had going on in my family, and everyone was blown away. I said, because Aaron didn't always used to be like Aaron is. Right, Anthony? And the ladies in the group said, he's one of the pillars of the church. You know, the Lord will work with whoever is listening. Can I get a witness on that? And he'll work on Aaron, he'll work on me, he'll work on you. Praise the Lord. So, Gideon had more than he realized, and he was having a hard time believing it. All right, so now, he's got the grand display of God before him. And I'll tell you what, when you come to realize who God is and that you are not alone, that he has not left you alone, the Bible says he's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. I got your back. When you come to understand who he is and what he can do for you, you're saying, oh, man, I want to have some type of response. And because finding God feels good. I thought maybe I'd get a witness at least out of Sandra to shout you down. Amen. Thank you. Very good. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and there he called it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abazarites. He makes an altar, and he brings an offering. And when you come to understand who the Lord is, it is a life-changing moment. He had discovered that God is real. And God says, very good. God speaks to Gideon and says, very good, Gideon, appreciate the altar, appreciate the offering, but we need to do it again. We need to give it a better try. Let me tell you what he says. He says, that same night the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd. So which one did he take? He took the first bull. Amen? Does that sound right? So take the second bull from your father's herd, the seven-year-old one. Okay? And tear down your father's altar to Baal. Because where is his altar built? I mean, you got the little, you ever go downtown and sometimes you just see church after church after church just lined up? Go down on Market Street over there or Imperial. Man, there's just like churches on every corner. Oh, yeah. And so I got to think that Gideon, you know, you got the altar to Baal. Well, hey, here's the altar to Yahweh right next to it. Yeah, this is like the altar zone. And God says, no. Let's tear down that altar to Baal. And let's cut down the Asherah pole beside it. They would worship the Asherah pole. And then build a proper. I mean, I appreciate the effort, Gideon, but I need you to build me a proper altar. And I don't know if he had like a little altar kit or he had a directions or whatever, but there was some way that God conveyed to Gideon how to build a proper altar. He said, a proper kind of altar to the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God, Yahweh, however you want to say it. On top of this height, on top of this mountain, get that Baal thing out of here. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. And he says, you did real good, Gideon. But we need to do this over. And it is so good when you hear from the Lord. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, you hear from God. Oh, yeah, God is talking to me. I am brand new. Got to tell you what to do. And people just hear from God and just say, oh, it's the best thing on the planet. He's just showing me what to do. And click, 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 click. My life is just lined up now. But some people aren't so happy when they hear from God. Because they hear from God. How do you hear from God? Well, you're praying from this word. Talk to somebody who knows a little bit about the Lord. So the Lord says this, Lord says that. And they go, oh, no. Because when it comes right down to it, I want to do what I want to do. You know, and some of us, you know, think, well, what is up with God? A second altar? What does he want from me? What does he expect from me? I mean, look what Gideon did, man. He sacrificed one of his dad's bulls, made an altar. You know, I'm thinking God ought to just be real pleased when I give him some of my time. You know, I hear this, and when I read this, the Bible says not everything is acceptable to God. You can do all kinds of stuff. And here I am, Lord, I'm doing this for you. And he's going, well, good try, but let's move on and let's do it right the next time. That's a good first step. But we need to keep on moving. And so many of us just don't want to keep on moving on. Say, well, I'm just going to find me a God that likes what I'm doing. And I'll tell you what, if you look, you can find them. You'll find somebody who will line up with what you want. And say, oh, cool, the God of Bob. I was talking on Wednesday night, man, I got this picture of God. God's like 100 foot tall, and I'm like 1 foot tall. The God of Bob, see, is 6 feet tall. He looks a lot like me. He likes what I like. Now, I can walk around with a God that's as big as me, or I can walk around with a 100 foot tall God. And he's really not 100 feet tall. He's more like 1,000 feet tall. You experience the presence of God and the power of God. You got to get yourself lined up on the right God. Amen? And sometimes he's let me say, no, that's not okay. In fact, you know, you brought me that first bull. That's the crummy bull. I want the other bull. I want the seven-year-old bull, the good bull. And you know, your dad's got this altar built up there, and all the people come, and they all like have a good old time there. I want you to tear that down. And the Asherah pole, you're going to make a new altar, so I'm going to show you how to make it. You're going to put that Asherah pole right up there. You're going to take that second bull, stick it up there. Then we're going to have church. And so many people don't want to hear that. So many people think that we're doing God a favor by showing up. Oh, yeah, he better be happy with me. I don't know who's talking about this 9:59 stuff. I'm going to get here when I want to get here. You ought to be happy about it. You know, Lisa and I had our 17th anniversary yesterday. And I had 17 wonderful years with my wife. I'm blessed. She's given me two fine children. And we went out to dinner on Thursday because there's stuff going on Friday, and we're not going to go out on Saturday because we got to get ready for church. You know, you can't get here at 9:59. Think about what you're doing Saturday night. It's like, what? Yes, they're linked by about 12 hours, man. What happens on Saturday night flows right into Sunday morning. There you go, Steve. You were late, buddy. I know that, too. So, hey, it's a good first step. It's just like, hey, we're going to start a new altar, new offering, new service time just for Steve. Praise the Lord. Lisa wanted to go out. And she didn't want to go to Burger King. No, I didn't want to go to Burger King either. She didn't want to go to the taco shop. You know, it's like, okay, you want to go out? We're going to go out, you know. So we went out. Why? Because I want to bless her on our anniversary. And we ended up going to the place that I like. We'd go to Black Angus, and I like that. But it was cool. It was kind of this mutual thing. But I'm telling you what. You're going to worship the Lord. You need to worship Him the way He has prescribed worship. You want to obey the Lord? You need to obey what He's asking you to do, not what you think you want to do. Amen? Now, hey, I'll tell you what, you get saved in Jehovah's Witness Church. But He ain't going to keep you there. Say, good first step. Let's get you out of there now. And let's get you someplace that's going to be talking from the Bible and talking some real stuff. Are we okay? Amen. Amen. Right, that was like four people. Are we okay?
Amen.
All right, thank you very much. All right. Gideon responds carefully. Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. Now, Gideon's moving in the right direction, but he's just doing very carefully. Obedience is always the right direction. Are you obedient? How obedient are you? Gideon's obedient, but he's still not getting the full picture of God. Now, he takes 10 guys, which is nice. You know, you're gonna defeat all the Midianites, you're going to need more than just one. So he's gone from one, just him solo, to 10 guys. That's nice. He's working with some folks. Are you working with some folks? You got some folks around you that need the Lord? I'll tell you what, 11 o'clock in a week and a half, you can bring and get some food. Maybe they don't get up early. We got that whole new time change on the bread of life. Who are you working on? Who are you praying for? Are you just running solo? Or are you working on someone? He takes these 10 guys and he does this all at night. Why does he do that? Because he's afraid. And who's he afraid of? Bible says earlier in chapter 6, the weakest clan. I'm of the weakest clan, of the smallest family. He's afraid of the city, man. He's afraid of all these weaklings. He's hiding out at night. How's he going to beat the Midianites when he can't stand up against his own family, who's weak? Now, what's everybody else in the town doing? They're sleeping. So at least he was up serving God and everybody else is just asleep. But there's still some more growth that can happen in Gideon's life. It was a good first step. Coolest thing about a first step? You can't have a second step until you take the first step. Amen?
Amen?
Moving forward with God. Some of you are smiling right now. You took a step this week. Felt the Lord in your life this week. Many of you, you know, we took that offering last week. And many of you were touched by the Lord to put something in that plate. And you're like going, oh, man. Well, actually, we don't have plates. We have bags. You're like going, oh, this is kind of scary. Anybody feel that? Sometimes just every offering, oh, this is scary.
Yeah.
But as you trust the Lord, you say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. He always gives you that, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. And I'm telling you, that offering came through, met the needs for that funeral, all the needs. It was a blessing. And I got to imagine, the Lord spoke to your heart to put that in there that you were blessed this week. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. That's the way God works. All right, point number three. Opportunities to advance. Anybody have any challenges this week?
Yes.
Those are opportunities to advance. Check out the opportunity that Gabriel got. Now, all the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other Eastern... Now, how many Midianites are there? So many that they could not count them. Now, they didn't come alone. They brought the Amalekites and they brought the other eastern tribes, Moabites, all them other ones. And they joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord, we're talking about Holy Ghost power here now, folks, came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. You hear Gideon blow your horn? This is where it comes from. summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. And Gideon is moving in boldness. He went from 1 to 10. Now he's blowing the trumpet, and he's going, hey, here come the Midianites, and the power of the Lord is upon him. And he gathers all these people, and he's sensing and moving in the power of God. He said, we're going to take these Midianites. We can have victory in our lives. Get up to my speed here. 7 years they had been coming. And they wouldn't even steal the crops. Wouldn't even wait for them to come up, bloom, and bear fruit. They'd just come and stomp them into the ground. Why? Because they wanted to just beat the Israelites down. They had no protection, no power. Another year of hunger and another year of humiliation. And a real problem, we can become accustomed to getting beat down. We can become accustomed to humiliation. What challenges are you facing right now? You can make a choice. You can move in the face of those challenges and trust God and find victory, find power. Find his presence in the midst of your challenge. Or you can just try and get by. Hey, man, I'm just trying to get by. Been doing it all my life. Probably die trying to get by. Can happen. Happens to a lot of people. Well, you know what happens too? They never experience victory. Spirit of the Lord moved on Gideon. And I think the Lord whispered into his soul, this year can be different, mighty warrior. That word mighty warrior began to resonate in him. This year you can withstand the attack of the enemy. This year you can defeat the enemy. This year you will be empowered by my spirit. And Gideon receives that message and just starts blowing on his horn. Rally to me. We're going to get rid of these guys. Doesn't that sound encouraging? I don't know what you're facing right now, but the Lord does. And my 1,000-foot-high God can come and rally. You just grab onto him. Move in his power. Move in his might. I don't know what your situation is. My mother, we found out, has got cancer in her lymph nodes. 30% chance of survival. Great challenge. I don't know what challenge you have. Are you going to move in the face of that challenge? Or are you just going to try and get by? All this is going on, and Gideon is limited by doubt. Armies ready, enemies ready, Midianites are here. Everybody's ready. God's ready, God's on the job. Everybody's ready but Gideon, the leader, the mighty warrior. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. Now, a wool fleece is when they shear, they just shear the sheep, and a fleece is just, it comes off in like one big piece. It's like a fur without the skin on it because all the wool sticks together. That's a fleece, okay? So it's kind of big. It's as big as a sheep. And he says, this is Gideon talking to God. Now notice he's on the threshing floor now. So at least he's moved away from the wine press. Maybe he's just calling the wine press a threshing floor. But if there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said. Now here he is. I mean, he doubted the angel of God. He says, well, if it's really you, can you give me a little sign? And now God is saying, hey, I will defeat the Israelites. We together will defeat, the Midianites. And Gideon blows the horn. Everybody comes. Everybody's rallied. Find out there's 32,000 troops to rally to him. He says, well, God, wait a minute. I don't know if I can really believe you. Let me do this thing. I got this fleece here. Let me put it on the ground. But come back in the morning, and the fleece is wet, and all the ground is dry. Then I'll know it's really you. And so, then that is what happened. And Gideon rose the next day, and he squeezed the fleece and wrung out rang out to do a bowl full of water. And you're thinking, rock and roll, let's go take on the Midianites, right? No. Gideon says again, God, could have just been a fluke. You know, could have just been the dew condensing on the fleece. Don't get mad at me now, but if you would, tonight, could you have the fleece be dry and the ground be wet? How much trust is there? How much faith is there? How much presence of God is there? How much power from God is there when we continually doubt the Lord? Everybody's ready to go. Everybody but Gideon. He has the opportunity for boldness, but he acts in timidity. He has the opportunity for victory, but he is ready to chicken out. Ask God for a sign. God gives a sign. Give me another sign. So often this is a picture of us. We wonder if we can really trust God. Come hold my hand, Lord, and I'll be bold. Come hold my hand, Lord, and I'll start looking for victory. We can become so focused on whether or not we've got our hand in God's hand that we can't get anything done. Summertime, Lisa took Joe to the beach. Did you get in the water last week? They love to get in the water. We got here 11 years ago, and Joe was like two, three. Oh, took Joe fishing once over at the pier. I think just Joe. Oh, dude, we used to catch so much fish. But with Joe, man, he's like three, two and a half, three. And he would just play, and we'd go up to the pier. And there's, you know, that kind of chain link fence around the whole thing, so he's safe. And he would just play with everybody's fish until he killed them. Can I touch your fish? And I mean, he's like, you know, this tall, cute as a bug's ear, man. He just, oh, sure. He'd just kill every fish around us and be bored. And Lisa would just be looking, I kid you not. She's looking at the news for the story of the little two-year-old boy falling off the pier and drowning to death. But that's not what I'm talking about. If you take him out, we go to the ocean, and they would want to go out into the waves, and Mom would go out in the waves with them and hold their hand. And then they would start to body surf, you know, and they'd like body surf the last 10 foot of the waves, you know, just kind of like jump in the mud. Look, look, Mom, look, 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 Mom. And they said, Dad, body surf with us. I'm like, no, man, I'm going way out there where the waves are forming. You can get speed and action and all that kind of stuff. Now they leave me behind. Come on, Dad, I'm tired, I'm going. But see, when we're just so busy going, oh, Lord, hold my hand, hold my hand, hold my hand. Man, holding hand times is done, man. You got the power to go out and find victory in your life. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And so many of us are just settled with just trying to get by. Never find victory. Never find wholeness. Never find fullness. Where are you at in your life? God would have you live your life in confidence, strength, power. He would have you know that he is right here with us. He says, I'm never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. God would have you step ahead in your life in his power. What are the steps? Steps to God? Obedience, trust, faith, experiencing his presence, and then experiencing his power. And that's where the day of Pentecost comes in. If you're going to step toward God, that means you have to move from where you're at. Gideon thought, hey, there you are, Lord, here. This is what I'm used to doing. And God says to Gideon, sorry, what you're used to doing isn't sufficient for me. I need you to change what you're doing to come closer to me. First step is salvation. Asking God. Come to that point. They're like, they got the Midians coming 7 years in a row. God, we're so messed up. And he goes, oh, you finally realized it. They could have cried out on year number one. Why didn't they? Pride. Could have cried out on year number two. Why didn't they? Arrogance. What took you so long to cry out? Pride. Arrogance. So people cry out to God and they save them, and that's the first step and that's the only step. And God's saying, hey man, we're going to need to move on from here. Obedience, trust, faith, presence, and power. Where are you at? If you haven't taken the first step of salvation, you can't take any other one. But I hope you're moving from the point of salvation. Is it making sense to anyone? I want to pray. Lisa's going to come up and sing a song. I'm going to say a couple things. We're going to pray, though. Bow your heads with me. You're here today, and you believe that you have not taken that first step, that you have not asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. You have not reached out and said, God, help me, Lord. I am so messed up, and I'm all alone, and I can't take it anymore. My enemies are all around me, and I'm tired of getting beat down. I'm tired of just trying to get by. Lord, I need some supernatural help from heaven. And you're here today, and you are freaking out because you think I am talking just to you. Well, the Lord is talking just to you. And he maybe crafted this message so that you can come to know him. There's other folks that are getting touched today as well. But right now, the Lord is speaking to your heart and saying, you are in danger of hell. You have been running on your own power for too long. It's time to surrender up to me. I want to be able to pray for you this morning. No one's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you, but right now the Lord is just on you like a coat. He's just right there. You just sense his presence. He's saying, this is for you. You want to turn your life over to the Lord. Right now you just say, Jesus, I am yours. I don't want to function alone anymore. I want to know your strength and I want to know your power. I want you to just come into my life and transform me. I give you control. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart and saying, I want to give my life to the Lord today. Not done that before, but you want to do it today. Would you just raise your hand up? Say, that's me today. Here and here. Here and here and here. Here. Saying, Lord, that's me. I've been lost for too long. Put your hand up. You can put it down. When I did this, preacher said, I'm going to give you one more shot. Might be your last shot. And I stuck my hand in the air. The Lord came into my life. The Lord's talking to you right now. You didn't put your hand up before, but he's talking to you, saying, that's me, Pastor. I want to know his power. Just stick your hand up. Anybody else? Over here, hallelujah. Back there, praise the Lord. Like I said, we're not quite done yet. But Lord Jesus, by your death on the cross, Lord, we are transformed from sinners, Lord, and that you cleanse us anew and you make us new, and you say that because of that, your Holy Spirit would come and reside in us, Lord, and we make a brand new creature in you, Lord. That our citizenship would not be of this world, but would be in heaven, Lord. And for each of these people today, Lord, that have raised their hand and said, Lord, I am yours. Do with me whatever you will. I want to be obedient. I want to trust you. I want to grow in faith. I want to know your presence. I want to know your power. Lord, it's my first step. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, you just seal each one of these people here. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would just be mighty in this place. Give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? All right, I got one little thing I want to do. Got to remember what it is. Oh, it's gone. The rest of you guys, you taking that first step. Like Gideon, the Lord says, well, that's a good first shot. We need to be moving on. Moving on in what? Obedience, trust, faith, presence, and power. Where are you at? Where are you struggling with? See, if you are going to follow the Lord, you cannot stay where you are. If you are going to draw near to God, you cannot stay where you are. And there's going to be some things in your life, like that Asherah pole and like that temple to Baal. There's some stuff in your life that just got to get out of there. Chop it up, put it on the altar, start a fire and throw a sacrifice on there. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 that we should live our lives as living sacrifices. There's some stuff in your life you just got to chop up and burn up and let it burn away. Where are you standing? How are you progressing? How are you moving?